You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, talking to you for Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network by way of Escape Artists. That's our new parent company now, Escape Artists. So we're very happy to be part of this big overseas expat community and experience. So anyway, yes, what's going on here in Bogota? Well, it's the same old, really. I think some weeks ago, some of you may have heard that I started working for the Alcaldía Mayor de Bogota, so the, let's say, local government. I have since handed in my my notice, and so 12 days of working in the public sector have come to an end. There are various reasons for this this decision, and those of you who know me will know why, and I'm sure that a blog will appear sooner or later about this event. If not, I'm planning on sliding in a little chapter to my ongoing work in progress, the Mompos project, so a story, a tale about my times in Mompos and Colombia. And so I'm sure there'll be a chapter or two detailing, or certainly a hat tip to some of the instances in the Alcaldía Mayor de Bogota. Just suffice to say that there's public sector jobs and then there's public sector jobs in Colombia. It was a fascinating experience, and I am glad to be on the outside now, not on the inside. So enough about that. Anyway, so listen, we've been getting some emails here and there, which is great. I always love getting some communication from your listeners out there. Remember, you can email us at columbiacalling@gmail.com, or of course via the website columbiacallingradio.com. And we do find everything that comes through onto our Facebook site, which is just Columbia Calling. So I'm always very appreciative of that. And of course, at Columbia Calling is our Twitter handle. This week, we've got a special guest who was recently here in Bogota. His name is Josue Cardona. He is Puerto Rican by descent, but he was down here from North Carolina and giving a lecture on an incredibly different, in my mind, and very unique form of psychotherapy. And so, we, you know, it's perhaps we're straying a little bit from the idea of Colombia on this one, but I think it has relevance because he came to Colombia. And of course, you know, what were his reactions on coming down to Colombia to give lectures, a week of courses down here and dialogues on this type of psychotherapy? Anyway, so Josue will be joining us here, and we'll be talking to him in North Carolina shortly. And we'll be talking about his page, that's geektherapy.com, and of course, the idea of treating like patients, depressed patients, and people who are searching out psychotherapy with comic books, something I'd never heard of before. And believe it or not, Colombia seems to be progressive enough to be inviting these people down here to talk about this this topic. So very interesting indeed. Without further ado, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Josue Cardona talking about geek therapy and Colombia. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away.
Are you looking for your next retirement destination, just not sure where? What benefits do you have or don't you by living abroad? Is the international real estate market safe? My name is Domingo Silva, CEO of Escape Artist, the premier authority on international living, and we're having our first annual conference in Orlando, Florida, October 10th to the 12th. Come and get the answers you've been looking for and so much more. For more information, go to overseasradio.com and click on the conference banner. See you there.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and it's a great pleasure of mine to introduce our guest for today in this week's episode. His name is Josue Cardona. He is Puerto Rican of descent, but living in the United States. He's up in Charlotte, North Carolina, the first time we've spoken to someone in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And he was recently in Colombia, and that's why we got him on the show, because, you know, you got to get people to talk about their experiences and say what's, you know, what they found in Colombia and how they found it. So we're going to talk to Josue about his time here in Colombia and, of course, what he was doing. So welcome on the show.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, Josue, you're an academic. You are a psychotherapist. You have a particular way of working in this field. And for that reason, you were invited down to Colombia. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, I'm a psychotherapist, and I was invited to talk about comic books.
So. Comic books. I mean, so we're thinking Batman, we're thinking the X-Men, anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that would be considered a graphic medium, right? Anything with kind of pictures and text, anything that's drawn, has art, would be considered a comic book. But the best known are always the superheroes, the Superman, Batman, X-Men, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And now, so how does this relate to your psychotherapy? Tell us a little bit about this.
Sure. So the reason I went to Bogota was that an association called El Comic en Línea had the first ever comic book. This is my understanding. It's the first ever national awards for comic book creators in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And they invited speakers from different parts of the world to kind of talk about comic books in different ways. So not just having artists. There were a few great artists there. And then there were a few of us who were academics. And in my case, I was there to talk about psychology and comic books and how I use them in my practice.
It's very unusual. I can see how it works. It's very unusual. And how did you get into this field?
So when I first started training, you know, to become a psychotherapist, I was an intern, and I started working a lot with children, and I realized that, you know, they love superheroes and they watch cartoons just like I did, and they love these comic book characters. And I saw that a lot of my colleagues, they didn't understand what the kids were talking about, and they would tell them to, you know, stop talking nonsense, essentially, and start talking about, you know, how they felt and things like that. But I always thought, wait a minute, if these are the things that they love, if this is what they're into, I think we should, you know, play along with that and see how they see the world. And the truth is that kids see the world through their interests, right? Through their games, through play, through the cartoons that they watch, things like that. And I think that stretches to adults as well. I know that for me, I'm a big fan of a lot of TV shows and movies, and maybe for the next week after watching a movie or watching a new show, I'll think about, oh, this is like that. And sometimes something on a TV show might make more sense to me. So I started integrating comic books into my practice, using them with clients, and especially inviting my clients to bring them to me and tell me, how do you feel? How did that comic book make you feel? Or just tell me something like, you know, right now I feel like Superman felt in that issue that I just read last week. And it really helps a lot.
Wow. So, I mean, so your practice isn't restricted just to children then? You have adults also involved?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating. But it's got to be a really niche market. I mean, this is quite progressive, let's say. I mean, so how have people sort of adapted and taken to this process?
So there's usually two types of responses. One is people who think it's gimmicky, right? Mm. And I'm not taking it seriously. And the others are people who don't know about maybe comic books and video games, and you can tell that they wish that they did, because they know that their clients really, really understand that it's a big part of their lives. And as therapists, they don't understand what it is. So they kind of feel like I have some sort of advantage. And I feel that that's the case too. And it depends. A lot of people will engage with clients about what they like or what their interests are. But I think absolutely there's not a lot of people doing it, and it is very new.
Very new. But you know, I mean, I imagine that you're kind of famous then in your field. You and the gentleman who you traveled down to Colombia with, Patrick O'Connor, the both of you were featured in a news article here in the El Espectador newspaper and stuff. You guys have to be the pioneers of this, I imagine.
So there is a little bit of history to it, right? There are people who, I believe even back in the 50s, there were research articles suggesting the use of it. And some people have written books maybe 8-10 years ago. But right now, Patrick O'Connor is a good friend of mine and colleague, and we've actually started going to huge comic book conventions and pop culture conventions to give presentations like the ones we gave in Bogota. So we've gone to San Diego Comic-Con, which is a huge event here in the United States where, you know, 160,000, 170,000 people come. And I do a lot of smaller presentations at more local local events. I just did one in Atlanta called Dragon Con, and that's a pretty big event also. And Patrick O'Connor, he actually works in the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, and he teaches a class called Geek Culture in Therapy. And we talk about, you know, we talk about this class all the time. And what he does there is he actually teaches up and coming clinicians on how to use things like video games and comic books in therapy.
It's amazing. Geek culture and therapy. Now, I was going to ask you about Comic-Con. I've never been to one in my life. I don't know what they look like. I've got a little bit of an idea due to some TV show. What's it called? The Big Bang Theory. You know, this, I've got a little bit of an idea. I was, you know, I've never really been a comic person myself. So it's always, you know, it's a stretch of the imagination. But I imagine that could be, you know, the basis. So when you go out and you stand, you take this, do you take the stage after, let's say, you know, I don't know, the actors from Star Trek. What is the reaction to your kind of speech?
It's usually really positive. I mean, right? Better than even presenting to other clinicians or academics. When you're talking at some place like Comic-Con, everybody there is just loves to hear you say. Essentially, my message is: guess what? All these things that you really love, we're using them. Me and my colleagues are using them to help people. And who doesn't want to hear that your favorite hobbies and interests are out there helping people? Especially when even that idea of geek, right? It's a word that now is very popular. It's almost cool. It's not a derogatory term, but it used to be, right? Nerd, dork, geek. There's things that the nerds, the dorks, and the geeks have taken ownership of, but they used to be very negative. And now it just means somebody that's really passionate about something. And so a lot of us remember being picked on as kids. And now we're hearing, I'm coming up there and saying, hey, guess what? I never stopped liking it. And now I use it in my work. And then I tell stories about, you know, kind of some of the experiences that I've had. Or on my website, I promote what other people are using geek culture for.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. You know, the previous sort of interpretation of geek was a spindly kid who probably never saw any sunlight or anything. And now, you know, the geeks, I guess, led by Bill Gates almost, you know, it's just showing how successful it can be and amazing. But you touched on something very interesting there, is that you at times you can be better received by the let's say the guests or the attendees at Comic-Con than other clinicians. I mean, is there a certain degree of pretension towards what you do from other clinicians?
So I've presented at professional conferences and it's been very positive. I think the hardest part is to actually get in the door. You know, when you go to an academic or a professional conference for any profession, you know, you submit a proposal and people are reviewing it. And I'm sure that more than a few times, and I know because, you know, presentations haven't been accepted, they'll see something like using video games in therapy or using comic books in therapy. And, you know, they get rejected and they don't get accepted. But for these Comic-Con conventions, more and more we're seeing things like psychology of, I did one presentation that, an event called WonderCon in Anaheim, California, and it was called The Psychology of Cult TV. And we talked about really popular television shows, and it was very popular and very well received. And you're seeing more of that in the pop culture conventions. And interestingly, there are a lot of professionals there who, there's always people who come up afterwards saying, oh, I'm a teacher, or I'm a clinician, I'm a doctor, and I really want to start using more of this because this is what I know. And I think little by little, we're seeing that happening more in the clinical aspect also at these professional conferences. It just takes a lot of us to want to present and be willing to do that.
But it sounds like, you know, there's a growing acceptance in your field. There's a growing understanding that you need to be, let's say, progressive. You need to be more creative in these things. And but if I ask you another question here, that you might, you know, I don't know a lot about this at all. I'm not a psychotherapist, psychologist, or anything. But I mean, are there any sort of, let's say, comics that are sort of more favored in their usage by yourself or Patrick O'Connor or other clinicians of your ilk?
So the way I look at it is always, I want to know what my client is into. Mm-hmm. So they may be a fan of a very niche, very obscure comic book that I've never heard of. And that's okay, because since we both like comic books and they come into the session with that understanding, they're more than happy to talk to me about it. And that's very important. Somebody, there's an adult or there's a fellow adult, right, who is willing and actually excited about hearing what they want to talk about their interests. And other people use something more specific. So again, my friend Patrick O'Connor, he created a database where he has cataloged a lot of comic books so that if you want to talk about a specific issue, such as anxiety, he already has a few books that are cataloged that way. So if you wanted to bring a comic book to a session because you think that might be helpful, you could look one up and use that. And he has hundreds of comic books cataloged that way. And it all depends. I have my own favorites. I haven't read every comic book that exists, right?
Yeah.
And I do have a few that I go to. I have an iPad full of comics, so I use that in therapy. But I'm also willing to work with whatever my clients want to bring.
And of course, I mean, as you said earlier, I mean, the field and of comic books is enormous. Of course, we know the superheroes because they're the ones sold to us through, you know, the movies and everything else. But I mean, who is the guy? Who is the famous artist? Is it in Cleveland or somewhere? I can't remember, but they call him like a graphic novel where he just detailed his life and his illness with cancer, I believe. I mean, you know, serious stuff, material for something that may be interpreted as quite sort of infantile.
Yeah, graphic memoirs are something that's very popular right now. And I love hearing people always tell me about brand new ones that I've never heard of. And yeah, people are talking about their experiences with loss, their experiences growing up, their experiences with mental health disorders, which is something that I'm particularly mm-hmm. interested in. And yeah, more and more that's happening.
That was very, very interesting indeed. Now, you have a website that is detailed and is all about this. God damn it. Excuse me, that's my dog. I'm just going to pause 1 second.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sure.
Anyway, so as I was saying before we were so rudely interrupted by my dog, who is known to interrupt these podcasts on occasion, you have a website that's very detailed. It's up there, and it's all about this type of therapy, geek therapy. I guess it's geektherapy.com, and you have a podcast, the Geek Therapy Podcast. How can people find that?
Sure. Go to geektherapy.com
mm-hmm.
and it has three parts, really. One part is the podcast. Mm-hmm. I love podcasts and I talk about this subject and I interview different people. One part is curated news. So I'll just pull news articles from different places that are related to, again, how geek culture, video games, comic books, popular movies are helping people in different ways. And then there is a blog on the site also where I write and I have some guest writers at times.
Oh, nice. And so we're going to come back. We're going to come back in a couple of minutes. We're going to take a short break and we're going to talk about your experiences in Colombia. And I'm hoping we get all sorts of anecdotes and we get all sorts of, you know, the fear or the trepidation that you initially had for coming to Colombia and what you thought when you were invited to come down to Colombia, you know, to do this. I mean, it's not... Colombia in itself is relatively progressive in various fields and so on, but it's not something you would imagine, you know, comic books in Colombia. So we're going to come back with Josue and talk all about this and his experiences, you know, giving lectures here in Colombia. So this is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. If you want to get in touch with us, that's ColombiaCalling@gmail.com and our website, ColombiaCallingRadio.com. So we've got all of the shows up there on those sites. And of course, we love to hear back from the listeners and we love to hear and know if anyone wants to recommend another person to be on the show, because of course, this is a weekly show and we're always looking for people. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Josue Cardona in a couple of minutes.
Are you thinking about a medical procedure or treatment overseas? Then you've certainly asked yourself, who will treat me? What procedure do I need? When do I leave? Where do I want to go? Why is medical tourism my option? Well, now you get to ask these questions and get the answers from the doctors, insurance executives, and medical tourism facilitators who have seen medical tourism work. On September the 23rd, we will be streaming a live patient-dedicated webcast from the 7th World Medical Tourism Congress in Washington, D.C. Register by clicking the medical tourism banner at overseasradio.com to attend this free live webcast. We hope to see you there.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota talking to Josue Cardona in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you'll know that we've already been talking about his job, his progressive psychotherapy, let's say, with comic books and mental health, really, is what it's all about. And he was down here in Bogota a few weeks ago, and he was invited down here to give presentations on his work with a colleague, Patrick O'Connor. So, listen, just tell us a little bit. I mean, did you get an interview? Did you get an invitation out of the blue just to come to Bogota?
So, and I'm glad we mentioned my friend Patrick, because he was the one who originally was contacted by the organizers of the event. And when he told me about this, I immediately thought, wait a minute, I speak Spanish. I could go to Colombia. I've never been there. So I kind of, you know, got talking to the people who were talking to him, and I started a conversation, and you know, I didn't know what would happen at first, but eventually, yeah, they came back and said, would you like to come down to Bogota and be a part of this event? And it was just such a great event. I thought that the idea was so fantastic. I was so excited and honored to be a part of it and visit a country I'd never visited before. So it kind of was just a few conversations, but then I definitely said yes.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, and this was brought, you were down with the backing or the patronage of the Universidad de la Sabana.
Impartially, yep. It was two things. It was La Fundación El Cómic en Línea, which was doing the award ceremony called Los Monos de Oro. And the other part was to actually give a workshop for psychologists and psychiatrists in Bogota and in Colombia. That was sponsored by Universidad de la Sabana and the Carter Center here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. And where were the events held?
The Los Moros de Oros was in, all right, you got to help me. I don't remember what it was called. It was something, what would be a place where you would have an event downtown?
In downtown Bogota, like Eliezer Gaitán or something like that, some theater. Jiménez de Quesada.
Comercio, la Cámara de Comercio.
Comercio, yes. Yes, they definitely do that too. Yes.
Yeah, that's where it was. I couldn't remember the name. Yeah, so the Cámara de Comercio was where the Los Monos de Oro was held. And then the workshop was at the Hotel Casa Dan Carlton.
Yeah, okay. Very nice.
All right. Yes, yes.
Well, it's because, you know, just being a sort of idle member of the public here, you know, you have no idea that these things are going on. And it's so sort of thrilling to hear of something like this in your city, you know, in Bogota, of all places. You said, yes, you're going to come down to Bogota. And what was the reaction, let's say, of your friends, colleagues, families?
Okay, so I was definitely nervous at first because I'd never been there. And the truth is that I'd never heard great things about Colombia. Mm-hmm. And I figured that can't be true. So I started doing some research, and I remember I went on Netflix, and I think I saw one show where someone went to Colombia and was, you know, trying out the food there. I was like, all right, that's fantastic. I felt a lot better because I got to see Bogota on video. And then because I have my own podcast and I'm always either listening to a podcast or an audiobook, I said, there have to be some podcasts out there on Colombia. And I found, you know, the BBC reports on crime and, you know, the child soldiers and things like that. But then I found your podcast and I listened to tons of episodes. I listened to about a dozen. That's a lot.
That's a lot of episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. Before even leaving. And I felt way more comfortable. But my family was not. Yeah, they were very concerned. I gave them my entire itinerary. I told them where I would be, and once I felt relaxed, I could sell them on that. Right? Once I felt a lot better about it, I could tell them, listen, I think it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna be in a place like this, and it's gonna be great. And I was able to calm them down a lot.
Now, you know, your whole family is Puerto Rican, right?
Yes.
So, yep. So of course, the image they have, of course, is, you know, is a very much not only just, let's say, North American, but, you know, I think from other Latino countries that the image of Colombia is almost worse, really. It's something that, you know, has occurred to me over several years. Like friends of mine who are Peruvian or whatever really have a dreadful image of what Colombia must be or must be like, and equally anyone who's in Brazil as well. But I don't know why. Maybe it's the connection due to the language or something. I don't know. But it's just curious. And anyway, so first of all, let me take this moment to say thank you for being a listener. It's always nice to hear that there are listeners out there, and I hope that this particular brand of irreverence is helped you on your way. So you came down, and your family, you know, I guess they relaxed. I mean, I guess you arrived and you went, listen, this is perfect down here. This is okay. I'm not going to get in any trouble. Everything's really well organized. I'm not going to get kidnapped as I walk off the jetway, and there's no guerrilla bombs everywhere. I mean, that's the kind of language that I had to use right at the very beginning all those years ago.
Absolutely, yeah. And even I did. I even made jokes about the kidnapping and things like that, just because that's all I knew when I first heard about going down there. And I was worried. Just like I would be worried about going anywhere I've never been to before. Mm. But like you said, that's the only thing that you hear. And I don't know. I think maybe because I know that my mother, for example, knows Colombians, and they or people who had visited Colombia, and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a little bit more relaxed. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, if you have people who have left the country on bad terms, maybe they're not saying good things about the country, and maybe that's why in Hispanic communities we hear a worse story. You know, that might be it. I don't know. I'd met people from Colombia, but I'd never had a lengthy conversation about the country itself.
Mm.
So I really didn't know.
And also, yeah, I mean, if you're based in the United States and people, let's say the diaspora has left due to problems and being displaced or being pushed off their land or being threatened and so on, of course, you know, they may have fond memories of certain items, but just talking with them, you'll be able to tell the sadness beneath that, or, you know, other reasons which you know, could have caused that move. And of course, you being a psychotherapist are a much better place to make this sort of connection, I think.
So
you think so? So anyway,
that's why.
But listen, so you came down to Colombia, and I mean, it's fascinating. I think we need to explore a little bit, you know, how you felt being invited to Colombia, because, you know, I don't think we're looked upon, you know, I say we, I'm English or whatever, but I live here. I don't think we're looked upon as being the most sort of developed country. You know, Bogota in certain parts is super first world, and certain parts is super underdeveloped, and the countryside goes from, you know, amazing places to visit to places which are really very much off limits. And I just think, you know, when you created this conversation with the organizers of the event, and then they said, well, come on down. I mean, what kind of, let's say, reception did you think you were going to get? Because this is quite a sort of, let's say, conservative country, perhaps quite stuck in its ways. And, you know, your sort of, let's say, brand of psychotherapy and mental health with treatment with comic books really does. The first thing that, you know, I thought of when I read the article in El Espectador is like, wow, you know, they've come to Colombia to talk about this. I don't know. I mean, just share with us a little bit of your experience in that respect.
So the group that I arrived with, right, all of the international guests who came in, they were recognized comic book creators.
Okay.
And I made a very good friend, Ernesto Priego, another academic, and he came from London, actually. He flew in. And so I saw this group of people. I knew Patrick was coming from Chicago. So my expectations were that we were, at least that, you know, they really wanted these people there, and that we would receive, I don't know, the reception I expected was pretty much what you would expect with going on a work trip kind of thing, right?
Okay.
Like I thought, oh, I'd be put up in a decent hotel, right? I'll be downtown, something like that. That was my expectation. For the most part, I really didn't know what to expect beyond that. I had very minimal expectations based on past work experiences and things like that.
And of course, I mean, you mentioned you do speak fluent Spanish, so you gave your lectures in Spanish.
Yes. Yes.
And how did they take to the Puerto Rican accent?
They were very nice. some people told me I spoke too fast. But other than that, I think nobody else said anything about it. Right. I always apologize for it before I started.
All right. Okay. That's very good. But, you know, because the level of English here, bizarrely, is actually very, very low. The president is putting into sort of swing sort of a huge push for bilingualism and so on and so forth. But that will take a generation or two. So it's just very interesting to hear these things. Now, I guess we can move on to sort of, let's say, lighter topics. And what surprised you the most about coming down to Bogota and your time here in the city?
I think my biggest surprise was the weather, first of all. Maybe, right? It was 55 degrees when I Fahrenheit, right? When I arrived. Uh-huh. So it was chilly. Yeah. When I arrived. And I arrived at night, and it was one of those experiences when you travel to a new place. I arrived at midnight, so I couldn't see anything. I had no idea what the city looked like. And then the area I stayed in, when I woke up in the morning, there was construction. There was, you know, it reminded me of areas in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it didn't feel too foreign, right? You're familiar with the area I was staying
in. Yeah, I know. But I know more or less where you were staying. You are just sort of on the other side of the 72nd Street, I think. Maybe just before it. But I know where you were staying. It's not a bad area at all of Bogota. It's functional, let's say.
Yeah, yeah. The first day we were hungry, and we went out. And according to my understanding of what happened, I kept saying that I wanted to use a debit card or a credit card, and nobody could accept it. Everybody was like cash only, cash only. And I don't know if they only said that because we looked like we weren't from around there or why, but we couldn't find anything to eat. And I even went into what looked like a nice restaurant, and I walked around and I couldn't find anything. And my expectations of what Bogota was for the first 2 days was based on that area, right? I was like on 68th Street, walked around a little. Then from there, I walked to La Cámara de Comercio, and my expectation was like, okay, like, you know, not... like everything's fine. I think I could find everything. I could even live here, I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no problem. This is positive, you know. This is positive. And the fact that you walked down from 68th to around 67th, and it's around 67th to where the Cámara de Comercio is.
I don't remember exactly, but it wasn't too far of a walk.
Yeah, and so you were actually just a stone's throw from where I'm located, really, when you were doing that. But and so, you know, you didn't encounter any aggression. You didn't encounter anyone holding you up. God forbid. You didn't get robbed or anything on the streets. You know.
No, and I never even felt that was going to happen. And the driving surprised me a lot. Mm. The driving was incredible. The driving, I had to really analyze what I was seeing. I couldn't comprehend.
There's a different, let's say, it's a different way of doing things when you get behind a wheel here in Bogota. It's caused me to, some of my hair to turn gray. and I fear getting into taxis because either you get Mr. Magoo, who can't see and for some reason or other just escapes death at every moment, and then, or you get some young boy racer and you just, you know, your white knuckle ride to your destination. So I think
my biggest surprise was that kind of everything's like a swarm, right? Everybody's swarming in, like everybody's very close, everybody's cutting each other off, but nobody's honking the horn, you know? Here in the States, anything that happened over there people would be, you know, honking the horn at you or yelling at you. And over there, everybody just understands that's how it is.
It is.
Yeah.
I would like to think that in coming years, there'll be a little more sort of, let's say, education towards sort of, you know, driving etiquette. It might just help us a little bit. I mean, I don't know if you watched the news when you were in Colombia, but one of the first sections every day in the morning news is called like the Ojo de la Noche. And it just details car crashes, you know, from the night before, which is so, you know,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you know, and it's usually someone who's drunk, or it's usually someone who's just done something incredibly stupid. And something that's equally terrifying is you know, when the buses, public buses, have accidents, you're like, God, you know, I get in those buses. So but you didn't stay completely in Bogota itself. You got to travel around a bit as well, didn't you?
Well, no, I actually did stay for the most part in Bogota.
Okay.
But and for the first couple of days, I stayed right there in that area, and my impression of Colombia was, all right, this is it. But then on the second or third night, we were taken to La Zona Rosa.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute. There's fancy hotels and there's movie theaters and shopping malls, and then everything went up like, I don't know, it was like I time traveled, I felt almost. Mm-hmm. Right? I was like, wait a minute, all this was here and nobody told us. Like, because the area we were staying at, there was nothing very commercial. It was just, you know, more suburban kind of mm-hmm. thing. And that surprised me a lot, because then and even some of the people in our group were like, why didn't we stay here? Or I can't believe all these things. Like the creature comforts were very close by and we had no idea. So it was very funny. My idea of Bogota completely changed from one day to the, to
you
the
went,
next.
So one day you're in like a construction site and the next day you're in the Irish pub there in the Zona Rosa. And it's like, yeah. But yeah, it's very strange. You must have felt a bit cheated. You were
a little well, and I almost felt bad. I was like, I didn't think that these things were here, you know. But then yeah, it's very, it almost feels very Americanized, right? It felt very familiar to me. I think that anybody who is thinking of visiting Colombia should, and they don't want to see something too different. I mean, the creature comforts are there. I went to the movies. I saw Planet of the Apes while I was there. I had ice cream in the movie theater, you know? So everything that I not needed, you know, but mm-hmm. things that were very familiar were definitely there.
Well, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, yeah. the, for those of us living down here, and you know, to be able to touch base every now and then in with, let's say, a familiar culture, it's important, these things. Yeah. You know, I was actually ended up talking last night to someone from Northern Ireland who's been here since 1996, and he said, oh, you know, you're very, you know, sort of connected to the expat community. And I went, well, actually, I have limited connections with the expat community. I think everybody sort of knows who I am, you know, because of the podcasts and various articles and so on and so forth. But, you know, I live in Colombia, so I try and live in Colombia as much as I possibly can. But at the same time, sometimes it's just so overwhelming. I've been in Latin America for 16 years and Colombia for 8 now, but sometimes it's still overwhelming. Sometimes, you know, I have a Colombian moment, which I have sort of like a mental wobble where it's like, why aren't people queuing up properly? Or why can't I do this? And therefore then I might need to go down to that Zona Rosa and maybe sit in a, you know, like an international bar, or go to the mall, or go to the cinema. I think this is important. But I mean, clearly you found it and you were comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, again, I didn't need it, but it was nice to know that was there, because it, you know, again, like creature comforts.
It was good. It's true. It's good. And also, you know, you're not all day, you're not in your conferences when you're down here. You're not, you know, you have spare time as well. So, and did you end up getting down to the very center of town, to the colonial area? The Candelaria.
I'm not sure, because I remember we went to the sites that we saw. I did go to El Museo de Oro.
So that's close by. You're within about 4 blocks.
Okay. And then I went to Monserrate.
Okay.
I did do that too.
So you saw the whole of the city from above?
Yes. Yep. I saw everything. Oh, and funny story. I heard an episode of yours where you talked about hormigas culonas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they were selling them like at the bottom of when you came back from Monserrate, and somebody bought them. I was like, hey, I heard about that. I want to try it.
There we go. Did you try them out?
I did. They're crunchy and salty.
And the legs get stuck in your teeth.
Yes. That's pretty much it.
that's pretty much it. I think it's just a novelty. They're not great. They're not bad. It's just a novelty, isn't it?
It was more fun to try to get other people to eat them.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And those vendors aren't stupid. They know who they're selling to there. It sounds like you had a good time in Colombia. How many days in total were you here for?
11 days.
That's quite a long time.
Yes, and it was a long time.
And those 11 days you were in that hotel and you were at this conference.
Yeah. Yep. Between the different conferences and a few different events, you know, smaller events that a few of us had. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was it. I wanted to go to other places. There were some people in our group who were from Medellin, mm-hmm. and that sounded really good. They really did a good job selling Medellin to me, and I would have liked to have gone to see it. I did get to have a bandeja paisa at our restaurant.
Ugh. just so heavy. I love it, but I can only eat about two a year. I mean, that's about it. It's so heavy.
It was. I don't know how they came up with putting all that together in one plate, but it was very good.
It's good for you know the novelty aspect. It's not something you can eat every day. I was at the office the other day, and a lady came back who sits in the cubicle alongside me, and she went, "No, I just ate a bandeja paisa." And I went, "God, if I had done that, I'd have to lie down underneath my desk now and have a nap, because I just feel like I've got to surrender."
But that was 3 weeks ago, and I'm still tired.
You're still talking about it. No, Medellin is very easy to sell. It's the most, let's say. Well, it's kind of like the most civilized in a North American way of Colombian cities. Not the downtown area, but there's certain barrios which are very, very nice, very easy. It's got that sort of vibe. The climate is so much better than that of Bogota. Bogota, we've got an Andean climate. Anything can happen. But Medellin's always quite warm, sunny, and you've got the views over the valley. It's a different culture altogether. And the people from Medellin, they're known as paisas. They're very, very proud. And so they're very good at selling it. So it's like, next trip, I guess. Next trip, you'll get out to Medellin.
Yeah, my biggest regret is not having seen more of Colombia, you know, just having stayed there in Bogota the whole time.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, what I'm hearing is it was a very positive trip. What I'm hearing is that you know, you are now employed by the Colombian state to promote Colombia, to tell people that it's not all that you see in the movies and in the police reports and in the mainstream press.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because I had a positive experience. Everybody was great. Everybody was really nice. There's always like cultural quirks, right? But I speak Spanish, so I work with different Hispanic cultures and multicultural issues are a big thing to me. So I appreciate all of the quirks, right? So it was interesting to be in Colombia and just have those different experiences. But everybody was so great, and everything I saw was positive. Yeah. And I never felt really that I was in danger. I think it was still in the back of your mind always, you mm-hmm. know, after so many years, you can't just delete that immediately. So when it got dark and, you know, there were less people on the road, you know, you still get cautious, you know, you want to be cautious, but I never had a moment where I was scared.
I think, while you know, appreciating these are very positive comments, these are comments you would also make. You know, you'd be in any city you didn't really mm-hmm. know, an empty street. You know, it's an empty street.
Why are there
no people here? You know, that's one of those things. Well, I take this moment, you know, and I take this moment to say thank you for your time, thank you for sharing the information about your work. I mean, I think you're going to really open some of our minds, some of the listeners out there, that there is this different form of psychotherapy. And of course, I have to ask you, is there anyone in Colombia who said, well, I'm going to start practicing that, what you do?
Well, so first thing, I think it's really important for people to know that there is a huge comic book culture in Colombia. That was one of the most fascinating things for me to learn, that there's kind of a rich history of comic books. Not only like, you know, I don't know how it was in London, but you know, in the States they have comic book strips in the newspapers. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that some newspapers in Colombia used to have entire magazines dedicated to comics, to comic strips in the Sunday newspapers. Mm. And there's a rich history of that, and there's a huge geek culture in Colombia, not just in Bogota. I mean, there's the big Sofa Festival, which has a huge component of that. I believe that's in Bogota. And there are small anime and video game and comic book conventions in Chía and Medellín. And I met people who organized those, and I saw videos and pictures. So there is a big geek culture within Colombia. And that was exciting to see. That's something that's very familiar to me. It doesn't matter what country I'm at, that's something I can absolutely connect with. So I think that's something interesting that it surprised me. And I'm imagining it would surprise a lot of people to hear that that's there.
It's so good to hear. It's so good to hear that these things. So, Josue Cardona, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being on the show. We're just going to repeat your website so we'll drive some people to it, hopefully. I can't promise a great deal, but geektherapy.com. And then, of course, the podcast can be found there online. So, again, thank you for your time here on Colombia Calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This has been Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McCall. Get in touch, ColombiaCalling@gmail.com. Check out our website, ColombiaCallingRadio.com. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week.